So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Turning our attention now to your eyes and your eye care, choosing and caring for prescription lenses. That's our topic as we visit with Jim LaLuzerne, past president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world. He's an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. Great to have him back today. And certainly, if you have questions about your eyewear, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show and you can post there with your questions. I had quite a few in the last show and we'll look forward to more in this program. Jim with us by phone. Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hello, Larry, and welcome back from Florida.
It was great to be in Florida, but it's also great to be back. I can tell you that. If someone is looking at needing prescription glasses for the first time, let's go to the first time people. What should they keep in mind?
I guess the first time, if you've never done it before, there's lots and lots of choices. And probably don't let that overwhelm you. And so that's number one. Number two, I think it's very important that you communicate to not only the doctor, but the dispenser of what you expect, you know, what your problems are, what you need to do. I know that a lot of people that maybe are getting their glasses for the first time when they're in their 40s or so because they can't read very well, they've gone their whole life without glasses. Suddenly they get presbyopia, they need something for reading, and they just don't, you know, when you're younger, I think you kind of learn quicker, but you get older, you've got to try to figure out how you're going to incorporate those, when you need them, when you don't need them. Should you get just a pair of reading glasses? Should you get a pair of progressive lenses? Those kind of questions that you'd have. But communicate well with the doctor as to what your issues are, and remember that you've got lots and lots of choices, and if you do get something and you go home and you use them and it's not what you need, you got to go back and communicate some more. Sometimes it takes multiple pair of glasses to do your total vision needs. I used to get involved a lot with companies. One of the companies I was with, we sold a lot of prescription safety eyeglasses, and I would go into a lot of plants and talk to employees that were having difficulty doing their job because of their visual need. Glasses were great for their day-to-day life, but when they got to the job, they had to look in a particular area or see something real close, and many times you needed to have a different pair of glasses for their work environment rather than their day-to-day environment.
Yeah. I can understand how that works. Here in the studio doing my radio show, I have three different computers that I look at during the course of the show. And Judith, thank heavens, makes the type a little larger, especially on the one that shows where the calls are coming from, and she darkens the lettering up a little bit, makes it easier for me to do my job.
Larry, it's funny that you mentioned that, because last time I was on, you mentioned there was a lady that had a problem reading. She was elderly and was having difficulty reading, and you had suggested a reader, like a Kindle or
iPad,
a Nook, to be able to read, and that the nice part about those things were that you could make the size of the type bigger. And, that was a wonderful idea, because sometimes people think just in terms of glasses, but there's another alternative. And that got me to thinking, I have one of those readers, and I had one, and of course I've kind of optimized the size of the letters for myself, but I thought, what if I got a pair of glasses specifically made for the reading distance that I held that at? And I found that when I was holding that reader, I was holding it about 14 inches away from my eye. Mm-hmm. So I worked with my doctor to come up with the exact prescription for that distance. And I made a pair of glasses specifically for that distance. It's kind of an experiment, but also because I like to read a lot.
Yeah.
And putting those two together, that is a very, very comfortable a way of reading. If you read a lot, particularly if you're having difficulties reading, you can make the type size, any size you want with that reader, but you can also optimize the lenses to go along with it. And of course, if you have astigmatism or other things, you'd want to get that, you know, that will improve it even more with prescription reading lenses. And then one further thought, there's two types of those readers. Some are backlit that have like a computer screen that have a light from the back, and you can actually read them in the dark. The original ones were front-lit, so there was no light source in the unit itself. You had to have outside light to be able to read. And some people like that better. And in some cases, especially if you're reading outside, that's very important. The other type don't work very well. But that's another consideration if you're trying to solve a reading problem.
Marilyn in Madison has a question or comment for you, and so let's go there. Marilyn, hi, thank you for waiting.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I went in to get a new pair of glasses. I've been getting by with a pretty old pair that has worked really well. I wanted to get a money-back understanding that if they couldn't, because I've had... I have a very strong prescription, and I've had trouble getting a
what you
that
need.
Works.
Yeah.
And they were very offended. They said they would not do that. Is that unreasonable to ask for that kind of guarantee?
Well, I don't think it's unreasonable, and I know that in many offices for a long time, that has been a guarantee. That's just a standard procedure. You didn't have to ask for it. If they can't make you happy, they give you your money back and wish you luck. Now, the eye examination part may not have that guarantee, but the pair of glasses themselves would likely have that. So if you go, I say this all the time, if you go someplace and you don't hear what you want to hear, go some other place and ask the same thing and until you find somebody that's willing to do that. Now, I do know that there are, you know, they may be cautious because they may, you know, they may think that some people aren't going to be happy with anything, and then they just have a lot of time and effort into it. And, you know, you got to make sure that they understand that you're going to do your best to try to make these glasses work, too. If you have a complicated prescription, there's complicated, you know, solutions to a complicated prescription, and they have to put some extra work into it.
All right.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. Ryan in Lake Delton, on to you now. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I've been wearing glasses since I was about 7 years old. I'm 31 now, and every time I go in for an eye exam and get a new prescription, and I'm, you know, sitting in the chair, and the doctor is asking me, well, number one or number two, I never feel like there's one that I can that really works, and then I get my new glasses, and it just doesn't feel like I can see 100%. And so I'm wondering if there are tips, you know, when I go in for the eye exam, you know, what am I really looking for? What can I do to help the doctor get me the right prescription?
Well, first of all, you're not alone. Myself included, everybody I know gets to the point where they can't tell the difference. And that's the whole point of the examination, doing that. They want to take you to the point where you can't tell the difference. And then they know they got you as close as they can get you. Now, one of the things that some people do in that is, and I don't know if I can describe this very well, but I'm going to try. When you, especially a younger person like yourself, as you read, they can give you more minus power than you need, and your body has enough accommodation in it to make that work. And so some people have a tendency to give patients a little bit more minus power. That, you know, when you're on the line, you know, is this better, is this better? Sometimes they can round it one direction, and sometimes they can round it the other direction. Some people tend to round it more to the minus side, which tends to give people a little bit crisper vision in low-light situations, maybe at night when you're driving. I'm guessing that's probably one of the times what's most difficult for you.
Yeah,
low-light situations, your pupils are really large. And I guess the one thing, first of all, know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Number two, you could talk to them about tell them that you want to make it a little extra sharp at night, and they might round it to the more minus side. Again, this is a minor issue, it's a very small amount. They don't normally like to do that because then it can cause a little bit of problem on the other end, but the problem on the other end is rather minor, and if it solves your problem, you're a happier patient. So
yep.
That's what I would suggest.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Good yep. luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Brad in Plover, on to you. Hi, Brad.
Hi. I'm nearsighted with mild astigmatism, and I'd like a thin, lightweight lens. Which is the best brand and material, and do the anti-reflective coatings still peel off after a year?
That's a very good question. Most lenses today are made with polycarbonate material. Polycarbonate is a higher index material and provides a rather thin lens, and it's very lightweight. It's also very, very strong. So as a general rule, polycarbonate would be the lens material that I would recommend. It's also the standard lens. It's not a premium price on the lens. It used to be a premium lens, and in most cases today, it's a standardized product. If you have a higher prescription, there are other materials that are available, and they normally wouldn't recommend those unless you have a rather high prescription. You said you're a little bit nearsighted, I think, and a little astigmatism. It doesn't sound like you would be a strong candidate for those, but if it's really important to you, you can ask for those. Polycarbonate and the other materials can be made thinner because they're more of a durable material, and so you can get some really thin, lightweight lenses. Anti-reflection coatings, maybe I should just take a second to describe what they are.
You know what? We're going to have to take a quick break. Would you want to hold that, Jim?
Sure, Jim. Sure, Larry. I'll pick it up after the news.
We'll pick that up, anti-reflective coating. And, Brad, if you want to stay with us, that's perfectly fine. We'll be back with our guest, Jim LaLuzerne, after a look at the news here on the Ideas Network. We're taking a look today at prescription lenses today, choosing and caring for prescription lenses with our guest, Jim LaLuzerne, a past president of the largest manufacturer of prescription eyeglasses in the world. He's an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. Great to have him back, and thank you so much for listening in. All our lines are filled at 1-800-642-1234. Go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question there. We'd love to hear from you, for sure. We had a question or a comment, Jim, about anti-reflective lenses. Would you comment on those lenses?
Sure, Larry. First of all, what they are, anti-reflection coatings on an eyeglass lens reduce the amount of light that reflects off of the lens. In a nutshell, in a normal lens, under normal circumstances, about 8% of the light that hits the lens ends up being reflected off, and only 92% of the light goes into the eye. Now, that light that's reflected causes two problems. One, you get less light into the eye, and if it's a low-light situation at night or reading in low light or whatever, you don't get as much for your eye to use. Number two, that 8% is bouncing off and bouncing around the lens, and it's viewed on the lens, and it can cause distraction and confusion to your eye. So it's nice to get rid of that. The technology for removing that is a coating developed around World War II. It's been around for a long time, and it's improved tremendously in the last maybe 5 or 6 years. So the coatings today are not just anti-reflection coatings. They also have a hydrophobic coating element as part of it, which makes them smudge and dirt resistant. It also has an anti-scratch property in it, which makes them very scratch resistant. They also have a property that keeps dust off of them. And most people, if they look at their glasses, even walking around a little bit, will see dust particles all over the surface, even if they're not smudged, they might have that. and this makes an anti-static property with these coatings. The gentleman's question was, are they better now than they used to be? And the answer is they're lots better. I couldn't wear a pair of glasses without them because I've tried it, and all I can see is the lenses because I'm used to no reflections on my lenses, and they're so much easier to clean. So I strongly recommend them. In most European countries, 70% to 90% of all the glasses that are made have AR coatings. In Japan, I think it's almost 100%. Canada is, I don't know, I haven't checked lately, but it was in excess of 60% at one time. In the U.S., maybe 30-35% of all glasses are made with them. So, yes, it's a great product. They do have guarantees on them. If somebody is worried about, you know, if they scratch or come off, they should double-check with what the warranty is for the particular one that they get. They're made by a dozen different companies, and some better than others, but it's certainly worth talking to your eye care professional about them.
Renee in Chippewa Falls has a comment for your question. Hi, Renee.
Hi. I got a pair of glasses in August, and I had a 90-day, you know, money-back guarantee thing, and it took me until November to get those glasses because they came back with the wrong frames. Then the second time they came back, the bifocals were too big. I have line bifocals, and then they chipped the lens, so they had to send that back. But my problem is that in the lens on my left eye, which has a prescription, my right eye does not have a prescription. It has a bifocal and a slab off, but my left eye has a prescription and a bifocal, and that line has a spot on it. That when the light hits that little dot, and then it shoots through the, you know, like I can see that. It's like a, like
ray of light or something, yeah?
Yeah, and it's just a little dot on that bifocal, and it's right below my, kind of like below my pupil. And then there's also another spot on the top of the glasses where it meets the frame there. That one doesn't bother me, but the one on the bifocal bothers me, and I told them about it, and they said, well, I can see it right now. And it just about drives me crazy. And they said that they come pre-cut to the lab that way, and there's nothing they can do about it. And they tried tipping the lens so that it, you know, in towards my face, and nothing's helping. But it drives me crazy. And my prescription doesn't change, so it's not like I can just buy glasses regularly. It's like I go 5 years without buying a new pair, you know, because my prescription doesn't change. But that little prismy thing is just about driving me nuts. Every time I walk through under a light or outside or anything.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jim?
Well, she kind of tipped me off when she said she has a slab off. A slab off is a very complicated lens process that takes place when you've got a significant difference in the prescription between one eye and the other.
It's not on the side with the slab off.
It's not on the side.
No, it's not on the side. That's what I mean, is if it was on the slab off side, it would be, I could understand, but it's not on the side with the slab off.
So it's on the, it's from the edge of the raised bifocal?
Yes, and it's in the middle of the bifocal, kind of a little bit.
Ugh. You know,
it's not, you know, it's right in my line of vision, but it's not at the edge or anything. It's like in the middle.
I would almost have to see it, I think, to try to understand it better. My first thing was going to be to say, do exactly what they did. Try the lens, tip the lens in order to make the reflection go in a different spot that didn't bother you.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
Tip and, a little more, huh?
Yeah. If it's not the slab-off lens, you know, the slab off is a expensive, complicated process to do.
Yeah.
The other lens is a more simple lens, and it might be worth just seeing if they could replace that lens completely. That should be rather straightforward. And
this is the second lens,
The
first one had it also.
Well, so I wish I could be more help.
It's just weird because I've never had it before. And when you take the glasses off, you hold them up, and you can see that little prismy dot there.
Yeah, and it sounds like the person that you're working with is sincerely trying to help you. They've done a couple things, and
yeah.
and recognize it. All I could say is maybe they could try another type of lens or something different. I wish I could be more help. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wish we could help more, but we're out of advice there, except maybe just bad luck. You got the same bad situation and two lenses in a row, and you might try it. You know, maybe they try a third one.
Sure,
It'd be worth it. We had a Facebook question from William in his early 50s, worn glasses since eighth grade, has been wearing progressive glasses for the last 8 years, which he really likes. But it seems the last few years, he takes his glasses off whenever he doesn't need them. Is it common to want to rest your eyes at this age?
Yes. I want to rest my eyes a lot at my age. I'm sure it works for all people. Yeah. I think I did. One of the things that they've always recommended, no matter how old you are, whether you're wearing glasses or not, if you're doing any task for a long period of time, to stop. If you're reading, look off in the distance, let your eyes kind of, because when you're reading, the muscle in your eye constricts the lens to make it a little fatter. And then when you look in the distance, it relaxes more. It's like any muscle in your body. If you hold a bucket in your arm and hold it off the ground for a long time, that muscle is going to get tired. You know, if you can stretch it and relax it, that's a good thing to do. And so I think, like anything, take a break.
All right. Tom in Pulaski, it's on to you now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I've been shopping around for some progressive bifocals.
Yeah.
I found several levels of price at various type of department store, chain store, or an optical store. And I'd like you to comment on the theory of you get what you pay for, or that the more you pay, the better the quality.
Okay. Well, to a certain extent, that's true, but not always. I like to refer, when people ask me questions like this, to a Consumer's Report. Every year or so, Consumer's Report comes out with a comparison of different places and what's better and worse. And generally speaking, the progressive lenses that are available today, I have a catalog in front of me here that has over 450 different types of progressive lenses. And there's probably half of those I would strongly recommend against. There's a few that I feel very, very comfortable with in terms of I know the manufacturer and I know the quality and I know their reputation. And then there's a bunch in between that may be good or not, but, you know, you're not comfortable with. So, but I think the first thing I would do is to go to a place where you feel like you can talk to the doctor and or the dispenser. I know that a lot of the more independent local places, you can talk to the doctor and the dispenser, and the doctor's involved with the actual dispensing of the glasses, and they have more of their personal reputation on the line. And in the Consumer's Report, on average, says that people are more happy with independent eye doctors for their eyeglasses. However, there's a number of the national chains, the bigger and the higher-end ones, that have a very good reputation as well. So I don't want to say you can only get it from an independent place. There are some good ones out there. But, you know, if you find something that looks too good to be true, it's probably from that, you know, that half of the 450 different kinds that I wouldn't, you know, that I'd recommend. There's a lot of patents and things on the lens, but the fundamental patent for progressive lenses is over 50 years old. And so there's all kinds of copies out there and variations. The company that invented progressive lenses is the Verilux company, and it's the biggest in the world yet today and does the most research and has the most extensive line. But within the Verilux line, there's probably five or six different progressives that carry the Verilux names. And they're all great products, but there's some that's the newer version, and there's some that's older versions.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Ben wonders, can a prescription be adjusted for playing tennis, for instance, and using another for driving? I'm nearsighted.
Well, if he's just nearsighted and does not have presbyopia where he needs something for reading, their lenses are almost always set for infinity. And then your eye accommodates for things that, you know, you're looking through the lens, you see, use the lens for infinity, and then your eye accommodates for things that are closer. If you're playing tennis, you've got the ball on the other side of the court, and then it comes closer to you, and your body's adjusting for that, your eye's adjusting for that. I think that's more of a frame issue, and how it's held on your face. That's probably from a comfort standpoint. One of the things I see all the time is people that, you know, went and paid a lot of money for a pair of prescription eyeglasses. A lot of careful measurements were taken, and then they put them and they're sliding down their face, or they're crooked.
Yeah.
You know, they're crooked on their, you know, one side. They get them bent. You know, in my case, my grandson grabs my glasses and takes my. I have to adjust them quite frequently. but you know, one side will be hot. If you look in a mirror, you know, your eyebrows in the top of your frame should be parallel. That's not the case very often. A pair of glasses, one of the previous callers mentioned, but they tipped the frame in a little bit. A typical pair of lenses has the bottom of the lens is a little bit closer to your face than the top, and that's so that when you glance down, you're looking through the lens perpendicular to it. So there's all kinds of little adjustments, face wrap, a little bit of a tilt, how close it is to your face. That's a big adjustment that can be done. You know, that might be more of an issue than having something different. If you have a multifocal and you've got different occupations and things to do, then there's a lot of things that can be done. And we talked earlier about specialty glasses for specialty functions. A company I worked with, we used to make a lot of what we call golfing glasses. And basically, you know, the bifocal would get in the way when people, or the progressive part would get in the way when somebody wanted to hit a golf ball. So they wanted the regular full prescription, like a single vision lens, but they also wanted to fill out their scorecard. So we used to put a little lens into the corner of the lens so they could, you know, peer out of the left side of their lens and see that scorecard. There's a lot of little things like that can be done if people really want it to be done.
There you go. Well, we have Mona is close to 50, has never worn glasses, but her vision is deteriorating. She wants to wait and go straight to LASIK surgery. Does she need a history of eye exams, prescriptions, etc., to do that?
LASIK surgery, and she said she's 50.
Yeah, close to 50.
Okay, close to 50. When you, in her eye, her
never
vision
worn.
Is starting to become a problem.
Yeah.
It's probably presbyopia. And if she's never worn glasses before, presbyopia means that you can still see in the distance, but you can't read. And LASIK was not going to change her presbyopia. If she went and had it done, the doctor can pick a distance that you want to see clearly at, assuming everything else is healthy and good, but it won't make it so she can see at the other distance. So if she's seeing okay now in the distance and she wants to be able to read too, he could do LASIK surgery so that she can read fine, but then she can't see in the distance. So there is LASIK surgery really has not, can't fix presbyopia.
No.
And I think LASIK surgery is probably something best for younger people that have a whole lifetime ahead of them before they need bifocals.
Yeah.
Presbyopic lenses, correction for lenses.
GW in Superior, on to you. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Larry and Jim. Having been on cortical steroids for 20 years because of some kidney transplants, my eyes have been affected. I had cataracts, which I understand is from sun damage when you're on steroids. Had them removed. A slight film is developing on the back. I've got other problems, some other little problems with my eyes. Long story short, I need some kind of good sunglasses. Cost is definitely a consideration. I see all these glasses that say 100%, what is it, UVA or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm dubious about that because it's everything from gas stations to doctor's offices. So I guess...
Now you're looking for...
Kind of below down.
Well, you're looking for non-prescription sunglasses. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Okay. Good sunglasses.
Okay. Well, the good news is that almost all, because of the federal law, occasionally you'll find in a, like, and you mentioned gas stations where somebody's bought the, every now and then I hear about a shipment that came in from someplace overseas that doesn't meet the requirements. But the vast majority of what comes in, because it doesn't cost them any more to do it right than do it wrong, the vast majority of them do provide adequate complete UV protection. So now, that being said, there's other things that can be wrong with the lens. You could have a irregular surface on the lens. It could scratch real easy if it's very cheap.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
What I would recommend is that you go to a, it doesn't have to be a fancy place, but a name brand department store or a big box store. And because they're, I mean, I'll use Walmart just name as an example, but there's many of them like that. Walmart would never have a pair of glasses on their shelf that doesn't meet the federal requirement. I mean, I'm sure they're very, very conscientious about that.
Does that include the lenses being smooth or whatever you refer it to?
I would guess that they would have very good quality in that. And again, it doesn't take much more to do it good than to do it wrong. So a place like that, and then you've got, you know, the issue of better frames and worse frames. I mean, some of that you're going to have to be a judge for. Some of the big box stores have optical departments that can maybe help guide you, and you still buy a lower priced over-the-counter sunglasses, I guess is what I would call them. So, you know, from an eye protection standpoint, you're pretty safe in your condition.
Okay.
It's important that you have that protection. And then look for, you know, a comfortable frame, something that's durable, and I think you should be just fine.
One more quick question. I've seen these glasses that are like space age and pilot's lenses and everything.
Yes.
They're a lighter color. They aren't dark, but they're supposed to have all these advantages.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Sure. And they
what do you think?
They do protect UV. The main component in most of those, I remember years ago they used to have all these ads on TV for blue blockers.
Yes.
And blue blockers remove a blue component of the light, and usually they've got like a yellowish tint to them. And they do reduce the overall light. They do eliminate ultraviolet, and but they're not as dark. And some people find that they're comfortable to wear in medium days or whatever. They do in some some people under some circumstances improve the contrast ratio of what you see by removing that blue light. So things become clearer. But you can't wear those lenses at night, and that's a lot of people, because you're removing way too much light.
Right.
Even if they look light, they might be removing 30 or 40% of the light that's there.
What should I watch for glare, for the non-glare component?
Meaning,
because my eyes are also light sensitive.
Well, you know,
or is that the same thing?
Well, I think it's the same thing. Generally speaking, there's if you're going to get sunglasses, there's either a dark gray lens, or some people prefer a brown color lens. A brown color lens tends to have a little bit of that blue blocking capabilities, and I feel that it gives me, to my eye, a little bit more of a natural a light or appearance. But a lot of people swear by the gray lenses. And then pick one. You know, the more protection you need, the darker you can get them.
Yep. There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jim, thank you so much. Boy, the time flew by.
We're out of time again, Rand.
It really flew by. I hope you'll be with us again.
I'd be happy to, Larry.
Yeah, thank you so much. Jim LaLuzerne, He retired from a 45-year career. He was CEO of five different optic-related companies, an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame, and all around just a nice guy. Pleasant guy to be around, that is for sure. And we'll have him back and do it again with him. And just taking a look ahead tomorrow, Garden Talk, Milwaukee gardening guru Melinda Meyer is going to be our guest. She'll tell us how to make the most of the winter season to plan this year's garden. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.